welcome everybody to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn here with Brett Dawson. Brett?
I'm excited for this one, Eric. I'm fired up for this one.
You're excited?
I am ready.
We can have a formal, I guess, obituary for the Sunset jerseys. And to do so, we brought on one of the foremost sports uniform gurus in the business today, Paul Lucas of ESPN and the creator of UniWatch. You should follow him at UniWatch on Twitter. Paul, thanks for coming on the show with us. We did an interview about a year ago about uniforms and particularly the Thunder, and we appreciate you coming on the Thunder Buddies podcast.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
You know, we were having a little Brooklyn talk a little earlier. You know, what have you thought about, you know, basketball being in Brooklyn? And I guess it's been kind of a weird situation with Brooklyn, like, not having picks and whatnot. Like, are you a follower of the Brooklyn Nets and their travails and their craziness over the past few years?
The Nets are sort of a complicated issue for me. I actually grew up on Long Island in the 70s when the New York Nets, as they were then called, like in the Dr. J era, they were playing, and I would go to Nets games at Nassau Coliseum, and I got to see Dr. J and, you know, that whole era of the Nets. And so I have, like, a little soft spot for the Nets, even after they moved away to New Jersey. So that part of like, rooting for the Nets and being into the Nets, like, I've got this emotional connection from when I was a kid. Also, as a 30-year Brooklynite, that's how long I've been living in Brooklyn, I'm very psyched about us having our own team. The problem for me is that I live right near the arena, and the arena was an extremely controversial project because a lot of businesses and people were displaced. It was, as so many arena projects are, it was a bit of a corporate boondoggle. Promises were made that were not kept, et cetera, et cetera. And I was kind of opposed to the arena, even though I was into the idea of, you know, bringing big-time professional sports back to Brooklyn and bringing the Nets back to Brooklyn. So that's probably a longer answer than you wanted, but yeah, it's right in my backyard. I'm probably like an 8 or 9 minute walk from the arena sitting here. You know, it hasn't totally like turned Brooklyn upside down yet, because frankly, the Nets haven't been that good. Right. Like, and I guess luckily for them, the Knicks haven't been that good either during the same period. So like it's instead of like battling for who's going to own the city, it's like they're both trying to kind of give it away or something. it's like, you take it. No, you take it. I don't want it. You take it. And if one of them could just, you know, really put it together, I think a lot of, you know, fan, like Knicks fans, I think they are so disgusted with the Knicks. A lot of longtime Knicks fans, they would jump at the chance to root for a good Nets team. And Brooklyn is certainly ready to embrace a good Nets team, but we haven't really had a good Nets team yet. Yeah.
I was there.
So hopefully that'll happen.
I was there in February or March or whenever it was that the Thunder played there. And there were a lot of people at that game, and they were real excited to see Russell Westbrook. And that was basically what the crowd was there for. I mean, they were like counting his assists and like cheering madly when he got the triple double, and
that was the MVP chant at this first time at the free throw line, right?
First quarter free throws he shot, and they were chanting MVP at him.
I mean, there's one thing about New York basketball fans, and that certainly includes Brooklyn basketball fans. They know their game, they know the sport, they know the NBA. Like, you know, New York's a basketball town for sure. I mean, not to the exclusion of other sports, but it certainly, like, there's a high basketball acumen here in the city. And so, yeah, like, people are going to be into Russell Westbrook or any other good player who comes to town. But they don't have a lot of patience for a crummy team. And, you know, the Knicks and Nets are not giving people a lot to cheer for right now.
You know, it's disappointing and from a uniform standpoint, because I like to see teams that have good uniforms, like, have good basketball to go along with it. The basketball product that's coming out of New York right now does not do the uniforms justice. I think the Knicks have a great classic look. I think Brooklyn has done a really good job with when they moved from, you know, New Jersey to Brooklyn, and like going with a really kind of, you know, minimalist, really cool, like, black and white scheme. Like, their court's awesome looking, their uniforms are great looking, but the basketball coming out of there is putrid. I mean, what do you, as a guy who's just studied uniforms for so long, what do you think about the Knicks and what the Brooklyn Nets are doing?
You know, as a, like I said, I grew up on Long Island, and I've lived in New York or in Brooklyn for a long time. So obviously I've seen my share of Knicks games over the years. And yeah, the Knicks are like one of those sort of legacy teams with a legacy style design, like the Celtics and a few other teams where they are like one of the classics. They stick to the traditional look, and it's a good look. There's no reason to mess with it. With the few times they have tried to mess with it, it's usually, you know, not been for the better. So yeah, it's a good looking team. The Nets, when they, you know, when they came here, I really expected something with a lot of bells and whistles in terms of their uniform design. I thought just in terms of where the NBA's designs were going at that time, and also just, you know, the flash that you want in a big city like New York or, you know, the borough of Brooklyn, I thought they were going to go for something a lot flashier, and I was very surprised when they went with what you've accurately described as a minimalist design, and I really liked it. I'm not a big fan of the B logo, which I think is sort of plain and looks like something that would be on a like a knockoff Old Navy kind of T-shirt or something like that. But
shout out to Old Navy.
But the overall, the logo it just in isolation doesn't work for me. But the larger uniform program, I think, is good. Again, having grown up with the Nets in that Dr. J era, I have a soft spot for that design, the Star Spangled design. You know, the which to me is the will always be the ultimate Nets uniform. And they've tried to do like a current Nets version of that, like a black and white version of that, which, like, I get what they're doing, sort of updated classic or, you know, a color-shifted version of it. It doesn't work for me quite the same way. But overall, I think, you know, it's a decent-looking team. I actually think the Knicks have a better-looking uniform if you had to, you know, choose between the two. But like you say, I mean, I can say this as a uniform journalist. A uniform can only take you so far, right? Like, you want to look good out there, but you got to have a good product. And right, neither team does.
Yeah, no doubt. I think if you were listing, like if I were to list my favorite NBA uniforms, the Knicks would be high on the list, and so would the Lakers, and neither one of those teams is getting anything accomplished on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I do rankings occasionally, uniform rankings. I try not to do too much of that because it's basically just an argument starter, and I try to be a little more thoughtful about, you know, the kind of work I do. But, you know, sometimes we'll do uniform rankings, and I can isolate a design and just think about the design and not think about the product or the quality of the team, and that's fine. But obviously, as a fan, you want more than just a good uniform.
Paul, we brought you on today because, you know, this week you had the big, you know, Nike announcement about how they're basically going to roll out these uniforms. And some teams have already kind of unveiled some of their you know, initial offerings in terms of their quote-unquote home and away, which aren't really going to be home and away, as Nike is now designating them, you know, association and icon jerseys or uniforms. But I wanted to get a gauge of what you thought of the way that Nike is going to be going about this year with their four uniforms that they're going to have for each team. And what do you think of some of the initial designs you've seen and what people can expect to see this year from Nike with this changeover from Adidas to Nike in the NBA?
I think the first thing we need to clarify for your listeners is that there's often a misconception that when a new uniform outfitter comes in, like Nike taking over for Adidas in this case, fans sometimes mistakenly think that the entire league is getting a makeover. Like every team is going to look completely different. And that's not the case. There will certainly be some teams that look different, but it's not like Nike suddenly gets to put the entire NBA in a centrifuge and like, you know, tinker with it and something new comes out. Ultimately, Nike is a vendor providing a service to a client, and the client here is the NBA and its individual teams, and the teams decide what their designs are going to be. And, you know, some teams may say to Nike, yeah, we want to make some changes, and we even want you to come up with the design ideas for that. Other teams may want to make changes and come up with the ideas, you know, through their own design offices or through a local partner, a local design service or branding company. And then there are the teams that are going to say, we don't want to make any changes. We're happy with what we've got. And so it's really on a team-by-team basis, and the team makes the ultimate call. What Nike can do and will do is change things like fabrics, tailoring templates, things like that. And they can work with the league to present, and I guess they presented and sold the idea of these four different uniforms that each team is going to have, at least four. It looks like for this coming season, eight teams will have five different uniforms, but most of them are going to have four. And they have also sold the idea that there will be no more home and road designations, as you alluded to. And again, that's not something Nike just gets to do on their own. That's something that they discuss with the league and that the league buys into. And just like in the NFL, the Thursday night color rush uniforms, Nike didn't just impose that on the NFL. The NFL went along with that. That was something that emerged in terms of, you know, from discussions with Nike. And it's the same thing here with the NBA. And so we can talk about the elimination of the home and road designations, which at least on its face seems like a big change from the longstanding protocol of having teams wear white at home unless you're the Lakers and you wear gold at home, unless it's Sunday when you do wear white at home for the Lakers. But the reality is that the NBA has been going to a lot of color versus color games in recent years. And I haven't tallied them all. I haven't tracked it, but I'm aware of it when it happens. Like whenever it happens, you know, readers will tweet at me and they'll say, like, you know, it's the Thunder wearing blue against the Celtics in green or whatever it is, you know, that there are games like that. And part of that is that there's been this proliferation of alternate uniforms, special occasion uniforms, holiday uniforms. Some of it is that, you know, the league has not been really steadfast about the rule about wearing white at home. And really, when you think about it, wearing white at home, or at least forcing one team to wear white, whether at home or on the road, made sense in an era of black and white TV, but there's no necessarily, like, there's no need for it nowadays to have a team wear white. What you do need is you need sufficient contrast. You don't want a team in wearing red against a team in orange, because that's not going to look good. That, you know, in fact, we had a game like that a couple of years ago. I think it was the Knicks in orange against the Bulls, I think, in red, and that was a fiasco. But you get games... I mean, it was. Everyone was ridiculing it. It looked horrible.
Like last year, we had there were instances where the Thunder would wear their sunset uniform, and it would be against a team like hypothetically like the Pelicans that were wearing like their purple uniform, and I would be like, "Oh, that looks cool." And then like Barry Trammell, our columnist, would be next to me like, "Oh, that doesn't look very good." I'm like, "Dude, what are you talking about? That's a great contrast. That looks awesome."
I agree. See, I think
purple literally happened. I was going to say that happened with Charlotte. Charlotte wore purple on a day when the Thunder wore orange. So we did get a purple and orange. It looked like a Clemson inter-squad game. It was awesome.
I have no problem with that. I think color on color is great. I'd like to see more color on color in the world of football as well, even in hockey. Like I don't think you need to eliminate white uniforms, but I don't think you necessarily have to have every game with a team wearing a white uniform. So, yeah, you've got HD TV, you know, like everything looks vibrant and color. Like, why not have color versus color? As long as there's enough contrast. So that they've eliminated the home and road designations now. And so, as you mentioned, every team will have a standard white uniform and a standard color uniform and two alternates. And the teams can choose, the home team can choose what they're going to wear for a given game. And the road team is supposed to choose, you know, something with sufficient contrast. And when you think about it, that's exactly what we have in the NFL. The NFL has never had home and road uniforms. The home team gets to choose white or color, and the road team has to choose the opposite. So the NBA is actually going to do something very similar to that, except there's no requirement for either team to wear white. I do think we will probably have a few instances where the road team didn't get the memo or, you know, didn't pack the right color to bring with them or forgot to bring the white, you know, the white uniform just in case, and then we do end up with red versus orange or purple versus blue or something that's not going to look so great. And I think that'll happen a few times, and it'll be good for a laugh, and you know, it'll be like an occasional hiccup. But overall, I think we're going to see more and more of these color versus color games, and I think it's going to look great. Frankly, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about the colors versus color, and we mentioned the sunset jerseys, which are, you know, not going to be in the rotation for the Thunder from what I understand this year. Paul, I think we discussed the sunset jerseys probably about a year back when I interviewed you, or it was probably more than a year ago now. It's probably a year and change. But I mean, when teams get rid of these colors, particularly the Thunder getting rid of the sunset, what are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on on the Thunder getting rid of a color that that kind of became like a prominent thing for them in the past couple of years, and almost like a Sunday tradition.
You know, it's interesting with these alternate uniforms. A lot of times they have more of like a fashion feel to them, or like a color of the moment or trend of the moment kind of thing. And, you know, I would think if they're getting rid of it, the sales of it must not be very strong, because if it were a strong seller, they probably wouldn't be getting rid of it. And also, Eric, you've got your finger on the pulse of this thing way more than I do in terms of the Thunder. Have they said they're getting rid of this specific design, or what? Is it possible they would have a different orange uniform, just not this particular orange uniform?
I'm not entirely sure, but I know that that particular color scheme is not going to be in their plans for at least the first four that they're going to have this season. That's not to say that they can't come back next season and have some variation of sunset or whatever, but it's not going to be in the four that they're going to roll out.
I think there may also be a feeling that with a lot of teams, and again, it's up to the teams. It's their choice, not Nike's choice. But a lot of teams, when there's a new uniform provider, they see that as an opportunity to refresh their look. And they say, look, we've been working with Adidas for all these years. Now we have a chance to work with Nike. What can Nike do for us? And maybe Nike presented something to them that knocked their socks off and said, yeah, we want to go in that direction. Like, we're going to sacrifice the sunset and do that has a ring to it, doesn't it?
Sacrifice the sunset. That's essentially what they've done.
Yeah, so we'll give up on that and we'll do this. So maybe, you know, they may have something, you know, in store that they think is superior. I mean, I'm sure they do think that, or else they wouldn't be doing it. It remains to be seen whether fans think that, or, you know, whether you or I think that. But in general, you know, things of all the four major pro leagues, you know, the big four as we call them, the NBA is by far the most fluid in terms of uniforms. It has shown the most willingness to have multiple looks. You know, like in the NFL, you can only have one alternate uniform, and there's no alternate helmets. Baseball, most teams have one, at most two alternate uniforms. The NBA has, over the recent years, you know, you've got teams like the Heat that have like five, six different uniforms. Now every team is going to have at least four. And that's just for this first year of the Nike rollout. I suspect, and I don't have any inside information on this, I'm just speculating, but I strongly suspect that while every team has only four uniforms this year, I bet by next season the number goes up for many of those teams. I bet we see more and more as Nike sort of, you know, gets grounded in terms of rolling out all the new designs. So in the NBA, I think, aside from those few legacy teams like the Knicks, like the Lakers, like the Celtics, like the Bulls, who mostly stick with a pretty established look, you see a lot of fluidity, a lot of changes, and you know, don't get used to anything for too long, because there's a good chance that it's gonna morph into something else.
Yeah, that said, Paul, the Thunder has had a similar kind of look that they've kept, you know, throughout in the 9 years or so. They have had and now retired a couple of jerseys the last couple of years, the blue, you know, Thunder vertical, you know, down the side vertically in navy blue.
Right.
That was retired last year.
Which seemed like such a weird, like, incongruous choice. Like, not that it was necessarily a bad design. You can like it or dislike it, but it just didn't fit with anything else in the program, you know?
Yeah, navy blue is such a complementary color in their color scheme, and then to have a uniform in that color was a little strange, and then it was so dynamic compared to the rest of their uniforms. It's very odd looking.
I can tell you what happened with that one. They opened the Western Conference semifinals in 2016 against the Spurs, and the Spurs blow their doors off. And they said, we're never wearing this jersey again. I can tell you exactly what happened with that one, because that was the last time they wore it.
Seriously, is that what you heard, or is that just like your...
No, that's just my theory. They never wore that jersey again after that game. They got their doors blown off in that game. It was over within the first 5 minutes of the game, and they never wore it again. And then last year was when I asked them about it. Probably sometime in November or December, I asked, you know, y'all haven't worn this jersey this year. Like, what's the deal? And someone within the Thunder said, yeah, we've retired that. And I was like, dang, that was the... And then I went back and looked at the last time they wore that jersey, and it was that San Antonio game, and I pulled up a picture, and it was just everybody on the bench in that jersey with the vertical line just completely down in the dumps. And I was like, yeah, that was probably when Russell Westbrook said, man, we're not wearing this jersey anymore. So they went with the sleeved white jerseys as much as possible. Just anything they could go with that wasn't that jersey they went with.
Yeah, and then the sleeves.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of superstition regarding uniforms and all that, and you know, among players, among coaches, among owners. So a lot of times it is that, you know, that we didn't play well in this. Like, forget it. I've decided we're never wearing that again. Or, you know, we had a really good game in this. We're going to keep wearing it, you know, and ride it. You know, ride that good luck charm as long as we can.
So as far as we know, the sleeves are gone for Nike. That's as of right now. That's the understanding that we have. And the Thunder, my understanding is, won't have a sleeve jersey at the very least. I don't think anybody will to start off with. So the Thunder now, from our understanding, will have retired what we know as their alternate looks: the sleeved white ones, the sunset orange ones. Those navy blue ones were gone last year. So they're going to get something totally different. And that's a good time, I think, to sort of look at what they have and what they could be going forward. And I'm wondering, because we talked about, Paul, that you like the Knicks, and I think the Knicks have great uniforms. The Thunder has a similar kind of color scheme, but I think most people view what they've done historically with their uniforms over these 10 years as fairly dull. I just wonder kind of what you think about the Thunder's look.
I'm not sure I would use the word dull, but I understand where you're going with that. And Eric, I think you and I talked about this when you interviewed me for that story a year and a half ago. They have what would be seen as sort of a traditional or legacy kind of look, which is unusual for a team that doesn't have a deep history. You know, like a new team, it's the first team in the city, right? Like the first NBA team in Oklahoma City. Usually in that kind of situation, I mean, it's not technically a new franchise because the franchise existed in Seattle, but it's basically a new team. And so you don't often have a new team, especially in a city that hasn't had a representative in the given league in the past. You don't usually go with the traditional look. You usually do something more contemporary, more modern. And so, yeah, I think I certainly hear it from my readers that they think the Thunder's look is not – It doesn't have a lot of pizzazz. Like, nobody thinks it's ugly. I don't think anyone would say that. But that it doesn't have a lot of action, a lot of zip to it. I have to say, I love the colors. I've always loved the colors. I think orange is one of the best trim colors in all of uniform design. I think a solid orange uniform, like the Thunder's sunset uniform, can sometimes be a little loud. But orange is a trim color used by many teams. Including the Thunder, I think looks great. It makes everything pop. And so even within the confines of what is a fairly sedate design, if you want to call it that, I think that orange does help. But I do think I would understand, let's put it this way, I would understand if fans in Oklahoma City wanted something with a little more zip, a little more pizzazz, because it's not a situation like the Knicks where you have a traditional uniform that's been there forever and has deep roots and that generations of fans have rooted for, and where your father taught you to root for, you know, brought you to the game when you were a kid and you grew up with it and all that kind of thing. It's not that type of situation. And so I understand that fans in Oklahoma City might want something a little more forward-looking, a little more contemporary.
Paul, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Thunder's logo, because the color scheme is, like you said, I think is a great color scheme. But we get a lot of people who, every time that a new jersey or a new uniform is announced, they're like, oh, they're going to change the logo. They need to change that blah, blah, that trash logo or whatever. And, and as you talked about it at the beginning of this segment, about how when Nike comes in, there's a misconception that everything's going to change. You know, the logo is not going to change for the Thunder. My understanding is they see it as something like, it takes time to develop tradition, and it takes time for something to stick and people to kind of get a kind of, you know, buy into. I think buy into is the wrong word, but get used to a logo. And, you know, some teams,
you want to build equity with your brand, right, basically. And that takes time.
Yeah. And if you're changing it consistently, you know, you're losing the equity that you built up when you first brought it in. Now, that being said, according to some of our fans, there's not much equity to begin with because they don't think the logo is very good. I had somebody compare it to a Doritos chip or something like that a couple of days ago. I was just like, oh, God, that's terrible. Come on, man. But I wanted to get your thoughts on the Thunder's logo. I think Zach Lowe roasted it pretty bad a few years ago, said it might have been like the worst logo in the league or something in terms of his court rankings. But what are your thoughts about the Thunder's logo?
I got to say, it's not the strongest mark. It really isn't. I think, just as we were saying about the uniforms, I think from a color standpoint, it looks great. Like, it is pleasing in terms of just the interplay of colors. While we're talking here, I punched it up on my computer so I could, I know what it looks like, but I just wanted to be looking at it while we're talking about it. And I'm looking, and you know, the interplay of the blue, the light blue, and the navy, and the orange, and the yellow, and all of that, I like that. I like the way those colors work. But they're working in a framework that doesn't really say much. Like, here's something I guess I ought to know, but I'll ask you guys. The sort of shield shape, you know, that three-sided, I don't know what you call it, but the sort of rounded triangle kind of thing, does that represent anything in Oklahoma City? Do you have, like, a town square that I guess isn't square, is triangle,
town triangle?
Or whatever?
I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't done my deep dive research.
If that had some sort of local resonance, then I still might not like it, but at least I'd understand it. But otherwise, it feels like just sort of this default shape, like we need to draw a shape, and it's the NBA, so we need to put a basketball inside of it, you know, because every NBA team logo has a basketball. And it's like, okay, we've got a shape, we've got a basketball, we've got the three letters OKC, and just sort of throw them together, and it doesn't. I can understand that people don't like it, and now that you've told me someone described it as or compared it to a Doritos chip, that's what I'm forever going to see.
I didn't mean to put that in your head, man. And that's why I'm so curious about Nike's rollout, because they talked about those two other jerseys, and one is going to be, based on the NBA players and maybe the players' styles, and then another one is going to be based off the community. And I'm curious to see how that community uniform is going to look. I'm not expecting it to be anything extreme, but I wonder what kind of things they're going to draw from the specific communities that they're catering toward. Like, for instance, like, what's Golden State's uniform? Is it going to look like? Are they going to have little Golden Gate bridges on it or something? Is Oklahoma City going to have the Flycatcher bridge or something like that? I'm really curious to see how Nike's going to do that from year to year.
I am too. You know, the NBA has had it's quite a few years now. They've had what they call the Pride jerseys. And so you've got, like, the Trailblazers have the Rip City jersey, and the Pistons have the Motor City jersey. And there's a few of these, right, where there's, like, some town nickname or something that has a local flavor.
Houston has the Clutch City, right? Don't they have one?
Right, right. And then the Grizzlies have those amazing Martin Luther King uniforms, which I think were really, really nice. And so you've got a lot of things like that. And it seems like, although they're not calling it Pride anymore, they're calling it Local Tribute, whatever it is they're calling it. The names, frankly, I found embarrassing. I'm going to try not to say, you know, like, you know, association and icon. Like, I've already, that's the last time I even want to be saying those words.
You know what we're going to call them? We're going to end up calling them Home and Road, no matter what. If you wear the home, even if you wear the color at home, people are just going to say
Home
all the time. They're going to call your white one your home one, and your colored one is going to be called your road one. And then we're going to say and we're going to come up with names for whatever the alternate ones are. Oh, they're wearing the orange ones today.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's all you really need, right? Like the white one, the orange one, whatever. But so it sounds like basically that they're going to do that for every team now or something along those lines. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Now, does Oklahoma City have a nickname that I'm not aware of, like Clutch City or whatever?
Loud City is sort of what Eric, you've been around longer than I have. Loud City is what they sort of call the upper deck of the arena, right? Isn't that the...
Yeah, but it kind of carries over to the... I mean, that's what the 300 level is, like the upper deck. But then people, for the peak itself, people will say, like, oh, it's Loud City. If they want that to be the nickname, because it's just become such a notorious place for being so loud and having great fan support. But
so maybe they could do something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I could definitely see that it seems like right in Nike's wheelhouse, frankly. That they could do something like that, or as you mentioned, they could do a local landmark like a bridge. Or doesn't it's? I confess, it's been a long time since I've been in Oklahoma City, maybe 15 years. Don't you guys have like a Brickyard neighborhood or something like that? Like
Bricktown,
former, brick town, so maybe they do like bricks. A brick pattern.
I don't know if bricks would be the best thing to put on a basketball uniform.
Maybe a bison.
Yeah, good point, good point.
Maybe a bison here. There's like bison everywhere. There's like painted bison statues in downtown. So, and that's like a big Oklahoma logo thing, a bison. So that might be, or it could be, you know, it could be something as simple as like that's the jersey where they put OKC as opposed to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. Right. Or, you know, I see a lot now. There's a lot of cities around America that are redesigning their city flags. And I think a lot of Americans have no idea that cities even have flags or whatever, but there seems to be more interest in it. And when I've briefly mentioned it on my blog, I've been surprised by how many of my readers are really into city flags and city flag design. So I don't know what the Oklahoma City flag looks like, but that could also be something where, you know, you use the design of the city flag as a motif, you know, for the uniform of some kind. So, I mean, there's lots of possibilities, and it is interesting. Supposedly, those other two uniforms, aside from the white one and the colored one, are going to be unveiled later in the season, like probably not in time for opening day, is my understanding, or opening night, like later, you know, in November or December or something like that. Maybe you've heard something different.
Yeah, I think part of the process that Nike's going to do, from what I understand, is they're going to make it each year where that fourth jersey is going to be a thing that they roll out around the holiday season. And it's not going to, I think there's a misconception when I said that on Twitter. People think that it's going to be specifically the Christmas jersey. The Christmas jersey itself, I don't think is going to be a thing anymore, but it is going to be a jersey that kind of gets rotated every holiday season. They're going to release a new jersey uniform pattern. From what I understand and what someone told me, and it's really a great marketing device by Nike if they're keeping people anticipating like a new uniform every holiday season, like, oh, it's coming up, like
every holiday shopping season.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
It's brilliant.
And so wait, that's the local flavored one that's going to rotate every year?
Or the player style one. I'm not sure which one, but I think that that's a plan that they're going to do, that they're going to have one every year that is going to be like an anticipated for all 30 teams. They're going to have one that's going to be new every year. So maybe hypothetically every team keeps three jerseys each for like the next 5 years, but there's always going to be one that changes per year, and it's always going to be one that like keeps people like anticipating that time of the year, so Nike can have something new to sell to people every year, which is brilliant.
By the way,
it'll keep me busy every fall. Lots to write about.
I pulled up the Oklahoma City flag while we were having this discussion because I have no idea what it looks like, and it's like a red and white shield on a powder blue circle. It would be interesting. It would be a departure. Let's put it that way.
It looks
I'm
like.
I'm pulling it up now too, so I can see.
It looks like the color scheme for like the Clippers powder blues.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of
just
what
like
it looks
a little
like.
Bit of green in it, maybe.
Oh yeah, interesting.
The Clippers powder blues are awesome, by the way. I love those.
The powder blue throwbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're fantastic.
Yeah, those are good.
Anytime you can have a powder blue throwback, I don't think you can go wrong under any circumstances.
In any sport.
Yep. Powder blue is fantastic. San Diego Chargers.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, like all baseball teams with all the powder blue road uniforms from the 70s, right?
Yes.
Everybody loved those.
Oh, like Kansas City. Yep. Didn't Kansas City bring back the all powder blues?
Yeah, and at one point the Blue Jays did too. What the weird thing is with those, though, for both those teams, is that, you know, those were uniforms they wore on the road. It was their powder blue road uniform. But if you've got a new alternate, you want to wear it at home. So, like, the Blue Jays were actually at one point wearing the full powder blue, like the jersey and the pants, as an alternate home uniform. That was maybe 7, 8, 9 years ago. The Royals have just done it with a powder blue jersey that they're wearing with their regular white home pants.
Gotcha.
We shouldn't be talking about baseball so much on your.
Yes, we should.
Also, you should. Your dated line of thinking there. They should just be icon and association jerseys for those baseball teams. They don't need to call them home.
Thanks for setting me straight, man.
Oh man. Let's close with this, Paul. We talked about this a little bit in the interview we did about a year and a half ago, but I wanted to get everybody's favorite all-time jerseys on the podcast. I know it's going to be tough to go through, but I'll just start off and say I'm a Braves fan going back to my childhood, and I grew up around the going to Atlanta, and my first baseball game was a game in a in Fulton County Stadium where the Braves played the Padres. And, you know, I was in the Braves fan club and everything. So the Atlanta Braves white home jersey with the tomahawk and just the word Braves on it is probably my favorite jersey of all time. I just love that look. And even if you – I mean, no matter if it's the Milwaukee Braves or the Atlanta Braves, I just think it's just a cool, clean look. And I just think of, like, Hank Aaron and all the guys I grew up really idolizing, David Justice and Marquise Grissom and all those guys and them wearing the jersey. And I think that so much of what we consider our favorite uniforms or jerseys connects to the guys that we watch growing up play in them too. And that makes it even more sentimental to us as well. So I picked the Braves. Brett, what about you?
Probably my favorite set of uniforms ever, I would say, is it's the old Charlotte Hornets, like the old school, like Larry Johnson, Muggsy Bogues, yeah. Charlotte Hornets.
Grandmama.
Like when those first came out with the sort of cut, the two thin sort of colored stripes. The NBA didn't let you do pinstripes, so they did just like two light colored stripes. Like I think they did a purple stripe, and it was on the green uniform. Those teal uniforms from those days with the purple accents, I loved them. I like the new Hornet stuff too a whole lot. I like that they kind of went back to that color scheme, and it sort of is a modern nod to those. So I love that old Hornets look.
Paul, what about you?
Well, first I should say that, Brett, there are strong rumors, absolutely nothing confirmed, but strong rumors that the Hornets are bringing that back as a throwback, so you may, you may get to see that one on the court again.
Nice.
And, Eric, of course, you are lucky enough to be able to see your favorite jersey, that Braves uniform. They still wear that, basically. And
yeah.
So you must, you know, that's a treat for you that it never went away. They basically never deviated from it. And I would say, you know, what you said about what you grow up watching, it really influences you. And that's true. I grew up as a Mets fan. They were my favorite team. Baseball was my favorite sport. And the Mets have veered a few times away from their classic look, but they've always come back to it. Like they added black and then they got rid of the black. And like now what they're wearing now is pretty much the same thing they're wearing, their pinstripe jersey, as what I grew up with. And I do think it's a great looking uniform. But I like even better, I would say my favorite when people ask me, is the St. Louis Cardinals baseball. I love the birds on the bat, and I'm not a Cardinals fan. In fact, you know, at one point the Cardinals were like the Mets' hated rival during the 80s, you know, the sort of Davey Johnson and Whitey Herzog era. Hated the Cardinals, but I do love their look. I love the birds on the bat. The Cardinals are one of the few teams that still use chain stitching, which is this like really textured embroidery technique for their insignia on the jersey. I'm getting sort of like deep in the uni weeds here. but I just love that Cardinals look. In fact, Bill DeWitt the third, I think is the right number, Roman numeral, Bill DeWitt the third, who is the current president of the Cardinals, he's a big uniform guy. He's really into the Cardinals uniforms, Cardinals uniform history. He micromanages stuff. Like one year he'll say, you know what, the front number on the jersey is like looks a little too big. Let's reduce that by a quarter inch this year, and like that kind of thing. And that's the kind of owner I can get into, an owner who takes his uniform seriously. So that really, like whenever the Cardinals are, you know, if they're on TV or whatever, if there's a Cardinals game, that's always a visual treat for me. Like, you know, even if they're playing the Mets and if they're beating the Mets, you know, obviously I'm rooting for the Mets, but do love those Cardinals uniforms.
Love the Cardinals too. Great jersey, great uniform, and I think we talked about that before. But yeah, that would probably be in my top handful of all time uniforms as well.
I like the top handful concept instead of top five or top ten. Like
I couldn't get a number. I was like my top handful. There's a bottom handful too. The top. If you create the visual, the top handful is sitting firmly on top of the bottom hand, and then there's like a there's a hierarchy. And I didn't want to put a number on it, but you get what I'm saying, Paul.
I like the idea. I might have to steal that and do my. You know, I'll publish my top handful at some point.
Top handful. You know, as many as you can fit in that top hand.
I'm excited, by the way, I'm excited for Minnesota. I'm excited for the Timberwolves. I'm excited to see what they're going to do because I like that color scheme. There's even like that little bit of like bright, that I really like Seattle now, like the Seahawks now. I like the sort of green, the navy blue and neon sort of thing. And I think
you like that neon green.
Yeah, like as an accent color though. I don't really like it as like I don't like what Oregon does sometimes with basketball uniforms, although I do like Oregon's football uniforms. But like I like the idea of that as like an accent color, especially with navy blue. I like navy blue with different kind of accents. I'm interested to see what Minnesota does.
Yeah, definitely. You know, once you put that color in the mix, you know, you've got potential for, let's say, a powerful visual impact. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it.
Paul, we thank you for coming on today, man. We're going to have you on again once these jerseys and these uniforms and all the accessories and all the stuff starts getting unveiled. We'd love to have you back, and we appreciate you taking some time out with us today.
Not a problem. Love to come back. Just say when.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. Thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast. We'll be back sometime next week. Thanks again.